going on, Bulls fans? This is Andrew Perez, Pro Bull, the class of 2018, and you're tuned in to the It's Bruin podcast. Go Bulls.
You have to understand those who came before you. You can't just play for me.
Payoff pitch. Brutcher pulls it. Deep to right field. And this game is tied.
Every day is to make the university extremely proud, to make our alumni extremely proud of what we're doing in the program. Culture and work ethic and all of those things, those are living, breathing things.
Are you kidding me?
This is ripped, the first Hogan, and there is your game winner. The South Florida Bulls can celebrate. They are headed to the Super Regionals for the first time in school history.
If you don't have the expectation of getting to Omaha and playing well in Omaha, you probably shouldn't be coaching Division I baseball.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to this edition of It's Bruin at McEwen, a USF baseball podcast. I'm your host, Mark Giardino, and today I'm joined by one of my co-hosts, John Kaplan. We are joined today by a very special guest, the head coach of USF baseball, only two nights away from opening day here on Wednesday night, February 12th, 2025. That is none other than head coach Mitch Hannes. Coach, thank you for joining us. How are you doing today?
Doing good, guys. Doing good. Thanks for having me tonight.
Of course. Yes. So, you know, we had you on the show last summer. Time has really flown. It really feels like yesterday that we had you on the show and meeting you at the introductory press conference. And here we are, only two nights from opening day. You know, how has, aside from baseball, how has the city of Tampa treated you so far? And just also curious if you ended up getting a permanent residence or if you're still looking for a place. So curious about that kind of stuff.
Sure. No, it's been great. We actually bought a place up near Wesley Chapel in Heritage Isles, really nice neighborhood. And we've enjoyed it. We've enjoyed getting around. My wife has actually explored a lot more than I've gotten to so far. We've had a lot of visitors come down from the north that we've shown around Tampa. So it's really been awesome. It's been to this point, everything that we heard it would be.
Awesome. I'm really glad to hear that. And also, I was curious, you know, you said your wife has been able to explore a little more than yourself, but have you found a place that you like to hang out or a restaurant that you're fond of in the area?
We actually, through recruiting, got to go to several restaurants, Ulele, the Columbia, and Jackson's have all been kind of our go-tos for recruits. So yeah, we've managed to find a few pretty nice places.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a fan of all those. I think if I had to pick one, I'd say Ulele, but they're all pretty nice. Awesome. I'm glad to hear that, you know, and we are very close to opening day, as I mentioned before. You know, this is the first time that you've had all your off-season preparations occurring in a place like Florida with the warm weather, you know, instead of typically your entire career has been up north in the Midwest. I think tomorrow they're forecasting in the teens for Indiana temperature wise. But so how have you enjoyed being able to prepare your team in an environment like this, and how has it helped you and your preparations?
Sure. I think, you know, even in the north, even though you're pinned inside some, I think you had a lot of quality time just working on fundamentals, you know, a lot of little things. And then as you get out, you get into the larger pieces. I think from the standpoint of being in the good weather, we kind of have to be careful that we don't get the big picture going too quickly and we get away from some simple fundamentals that are very important to the game. And I think the good weather does that to you a little bit. You say, hey, man, we're outside. We can scrimmage or we can do some things. And so I think there's a fine line. There's a balance. I mean, we certainly wouldn't change the good weather to go back to the cold and indoors. But I think for us, it's just making sure that we stay within some framework of the fundamentals so that we stay on point. I think sometimes when you get outside, you think you should be doing a lot more. So the other thing you have to be careful of is just the amount of work on the guy's legs early in the season, you know, or it's another piece, too much too quickly. And so I think there's good and bad in everything, but regardless, I think it's important that your team locks in and sticks to a lot of good fundamental work early in the season.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I hadn't thought of that because obviously, when you have the actual constraints of a indoor facility, forces you, right? But now you kind of have to make it happen like that. That makes sense. So yeah, I was also, wondering as we are just a couple of nights from opening day, how would you describe the vibe of the team for yourself? What is the general feeling for you and your team as you're heading into this new season, new school, everything?
Well, I can tell you the guys are ready to play. I haven't met a player that gets this close that isn't excited, isn't ready to go. And I can also tell you that the coaching staff, we feel like we need 2 more weeks or 3 more weeks, or we never feel like we're ready. You still feel like you've got things that you need to work on and prepare for. But I think the good thing in that for all of these guys, regardless of the vibe coming in for Friday night, I think the teams that understand you have to get better throughout the season. That's the most important piece of college baseball, is to make sure we're getting better and we're improving and learning from our mistakes, and hopefully getting to a place that there's less and less to hammer out. But obviously part of this is you do get exposed and you got to go back and fix pieces and do some things. So we're excited for Friday, but I think most importantly, I think our guys understand that, you know, Friday's the start. The most important thing is where this team finishes and how we finish. And I think that's what we're geared toward more than even Friday night. Not to say that Friday is not important and we're not excited and we're not raring to go, but I think, you know, that's just the start of this journey. And I think our players understand that it's not about where you start, but where you finish.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. I think keeping the big picture in mind, long season ahead, not taking too much stock in what you see in these 3 days, although it will obviously tell you a lot. But as you head into this opening weekend, is there one particular thing you could point to that you're very happy with what the team has done the last few weeks preparing? And is there like one thing where you're really just keep kind of harping on, like, hey, we really need to get this kind of thing down?
Well, we've got a lot. We've been, if harping on is the right word, we've got a lot of information that we've been giving the guys. And I think as you get closer, you start to dial that back. I think we want our guys to be free and aggressive. And I think sometimes too much information restricts that. So I think that's one piece. But obviously, you have to get into scouting reports and you got to do those things, and guys have to understand what they're grabbing a hold of. But at the same time, I think it's just a matter of continuing to learn what each and every guy on the roster does and what he does well and what he can do to contribute to this team. I think that's more been our message lately. Know your skill set, know what you bring, stay within it. Don't try to go above it. Don't try to be a hero. And if we can just get our roster to play to their strengths, I think that's probably been the message more than anything the last few weeks.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think yeah, it's a good approach for each individual to have something to focus on, and that collectively that ends up producing ideally a great team, right? But we will actually hand this next segment off to John.
Awesome. Thanks, Mark. Coach, before I get started on segment three, I got to ask, Heritage Isles is one of my favorite golf courses in the area. Have you been able to get out the sticks at all?
Once made it out once. My
All right.
son loves going out there. He's been out there a ton, but my wife and I made it out once. So we're lagging. We're too busy exploring Tampa to golf.
And coaching a Division I baseball team. I mean, I think you've got a pretty good excuse there, coach. So we're going up against this weekend, we're facing off against the University of Iowa, who is head coached by someone you are probably quite familiar with, Coach Rick Heller. He was the coach at Indiana State, I believe, for 4 or 5 seasons before you assumed the position in 2014. Couple questions inside of that. Is that a coincidence or is there a connection there that led to this matchup? What can you say about him personally and his team as a whole, coach, as we head into opening weekend?
They were already on the schedule. The schedule for this season was pretty much in place when we came in, so there wasn't a lot of adjusting that we did to this year's schedule. So I can't take credit for scheduling Iowa right off the bat. That was Coach Moll, and Iowa's had a really good program since he's gotten there. They do a great job. They always have a great pitching staff. They're always well coached on the field. I think in terms of the Big Ten, I would rank them at the top of the Big Ten and the program that they've put together with the resources they have and what they've been able to do there. Great respect for what they've done at Iowa.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's got quite a resume himself. I think he's got over 1,000 wins on his career, with about 350 of those coming at University of Iowa. And just like you said, he's made them like a perennial contender for the college tournament and a big threat in the Big Ten. So I'm definitely excited to see that matchup. They had a little bit of a down season last year with a 29-23 record. One interesting note that I saw was that they had a 7-12 road record. Playing much better at home with an 18-4 record. I'm interested to see how that comes into play with them traveling to Tampa in their opening weekend. I mean, they're going to have a little bit better weather, but that's not a short trip, as we all know. I think it was last week we heard on Bulls Unlimited Radio that Corey Braun is going to be getting the start this Friday, and that James Hill is going to be starting on Saturday. Last week we had a podcast where we were trying to kind of predict who we thought was going to be out there, and Corey Brown was on Mark and I's radar. He didn't have any appearances at Ole Miss last season, but he played really well at Santa Fe College. You know, led the team in strikeouts, 76 strikeouts and 64 and a third innings. He really limited walks too. What can you tell me about Corey Braun as we head into Friday's matchup, and what kind of led to that decision of making him your Friday night starter?
Sure. I can kind of touch on Corey and James Hill both at the same time. Both of those guys have been the most consistent guys on the mound since we've gotten here. Their work all fall, their work early spring. So everything they've done to this point, we obviously have a few guys that aren't able to throw right now for us. But even with that in mind, these two guys would have gone out at the front of our rotation. So I think that's the biggest thing about them. I think when you talk about consistency, you're talking about guys that are in the zone with at least three pitches, at least two and a half, right? Very consistently. Guys that can use both sides of the plate. And that's really why those guys are in the front. When you try to settle on starters, you try to settle on guys that do attack the zone for the most part, or you get into such high pitch counts that those guys are gone, and especially early in the season, when guys are limited on pitch count anyway. So that's really why they jumped to the front, was just the fact that they've been the most consistent over time.
So James Hill, he underwent Tommy John surgery in 2023 and had a little bit of a down season last year. What progressions have you seen from him this season, since he came on campus this fall?
He's had to work extremely hard just coming off the arm issue. And he has. I mean, he one thing I can say about both those guys is when they got here, they were in go mode. I mean, they weren't here to make friends. They weren't here to talk a lot and socialize. They put their head down on the field and just went to work. And James Hill, if you didn't know better, you would think he was already an 8-year big league veteran with the way he comes to the park and just quietly goes about his business. So he had to, and I think he just appreciates the opportunity to get a throw. I mean, when you've been hurt and you've been out and you've had to fight your way back, that's a tough road. So I think he's just really glad that he's in this space and he has a chance to get back on the mound.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's shown flashes of brilliance. He was 3-0 and with a sub-2 ERAs sophomore year before going down. So I'm definitely excited to see him work. Have you decided on a Sunday starter yet?
We haven't. I mean, obviously, when you we're already a couple guys short on that back end in terms of having to move guys up, and we're just going to see how Friday and Saturday play out before we decide on Sunday.
Fair enough. We also heard on Bulls Unlimited that you would tell the team the starting lineup before the media. Have you told them yet?
I
And
have
is there
not.
anything? Yeah, okay. So I'm gonna.
I was going to yesterday, and we talked as a staff, and we still had a question mark or two, and we hopefully by tomorrow we got to decide soon. But the hard part is just making sure, you know, college baseball, we're kind of screwed up in a sense. In pro ball, you have two guys that are basically equal. You send one to low A, you send one to high A, and let them both play, and then see who plays better and decide what you want to do with them from there. Here we have to pick a starter, and sometimes it's such a close race, you want to watch every moment that you get before you decide on who that's going to be.
Absolutely. And just wrapping up, we also heard that Bryce Archie could be considered for some midweek starts. What's impressed you about him the most this offseason?
Well, first of all, and Bryce has a unique situation, you know, with football, and we're fortunate that football is willing to share him with us. He's talented. He's an extremely talented guy. And we met with the football staff, and we went through schedules, and Coach Flareth was there, as well as, you know, Coach Golish and a few position coaches for football. And it just seemed like him being a midweek starter worked out best with spring football going on. It just gives him an opportunity to settle into a time frame with us. He can still take care of his football obligations. And then when spring football ends, we can transition him to whatever role then we think we would like to use him. But I think in terms of building up his pitch count and all of that, it just works out better if we're consistent on that midweek. The other situation would have put him maybe in a relieving role on the weekend, at least to begin. And, you know, that's all over the place. And for him to have any normalcy and us to work this together with football, it just seemed like him starting on the midweeks was so much easier and so much cleaner for him.
Yeah, very good. That's awesome. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he has tremendous arm talent, and I was just curious, like, did you maybe not get to practice with him at all in the fall? So you kind of got your first real in-person look at him in January?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't get to see him until we started individuals when school started. It was the first time. Obviously, we get to see video from last year and those type things, but the first time in person was actually during individuals in January.
Wow, I'm just curious. Was he immediately just throwing well, or is he kind of shaking the rust off, or happy with his progress?
Well, I think, you know, he's going to be rusty. I think anybody that expects him to come out Tuesday night and just be on, it's probably, again, it's a stretch. But, you know, midweek, sometimes depth-wise and all of that, it allows you to try some different things. So I think ultimately, if we're getting 4 to 5 innings from Bryce in the midweeks, and then you use your pen to finish it out, it's much easier than going in on a Tuesday using your entire bullpen because your starters are limited. So more of that and allowing him to work. It's not great working the rust off against Florida State on Tuesday. You know, that's probably a little unfair, but it is what it is. And you know, the important thing, we want Bryce at the end of the year. Just feel like if we don't put a good plan together and let him slowly build up and build the stamina up for pitching, we could possibly injure him or have setbacks. And so we're looking forward to the May run with him, and hopefully everything that leads up to that, we can build him up and get him in good pitching shape, and we can knock that rust off, and he'll be ready to go for the end of the season run.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because, if he knows that he has to be starting on a weeknight, it's like he could do his pregame routine, go right into his start. Especially I know how busy those guys are with spring football. It's nice to have like a little island night right there where he could just kind of focus on that. That makes a lot of sense actually. And
Absolutely.
yeah, of course, I mean, once you determine the best role for him, I mean, yeah, the sky's the limit, especially once he becomes fully focused on baseball. Wow. Very, very exciting. And I know you kind of hinted when you were talking to Bulls Unlimited or the media last week that you asked Coach Schlereth who's the closer going to be, and there's hasn't quite been a definitive answer yet. Has there been any revelations there yet?
Well, I think you guys have been around baseball long enough to know until you put someone out there, the closer, it's more about the person and what's inside them than the stuff a lot of times. And I think for us to really figure that one out, it's going to be trial and error, because we can simulate everything we want to simulate, but when you've got to go out there and get the last three outs against a good team in a one-run game, that takes a tough dude. That takes somebody that is not afraid to fail. And then go out there in the toughest moments. And closing is not made for everybody. We do have some ideas, but obviously we haven't settled in on that yet. And we may not settle in on that until we're posed with that situation and grab a guy. Over the years, I've run into this a couple of times. And you just choose the mentality over stuff, and we've got a few guys down there, so we'll throw somebody in there.
Nice. And I got one more thing for you too, because this is a name that you actually mentioned last week, and I just want to hear a little more about him. He's somebody that we've been following now with USF. This is gonna be his third season. Austin Newton, that sound like he was in strong consideration. John's a big fan.
Big new band.
He was a strong consideration to, or maybe even he was gonna start on Sunday, but he's dealing with an injury. But leading up to the injury, what kind of stuff have you seen out of him, and what made him win that job in theory?
Well, I mean, the reality was he made a large jump in the fall in terms of, I think more so, it might have been just been his age and maturity. When you get to a point and you've scuffled a little bit, you finally get to that point where you say, I'm gonna have a good year this year, regardless of what's happened in the past. And I think that's kind of where he was at. I think I saw a few people put he had the 6 ERA and those things. I think what really started him taking off was Coach Schlereth taught him a sinker, and that really changed things. I mean, all of a sudden he's throwing 95 plus and topping out at 97, but with sink on everything. And we were really looking forward to seeing that early. We got to wait a while now to see that. But I think the sinker was really changing Austin very quickly.
That's awesome to hear. And I think you said at that point that it was about maybe 6 weeks away. Does that still sound about right?
Yeah,
Okay.
we're still looking at a good 6 weeks. So, and that's a big one. We lost Lawson Gailey for the season and Cody Morgan for the season. So
Oh, wow.
we're having to fill in some pieces with some guys. So hopefully we're through that the injury bug, and the guys that we have will stay healthy as we roll through this season.
Versatility is huge when it comes to putting together a pitching staff, and sounds like you're going through it a little bit right now. Mentioning several arms that are kind of down right now, not able to throw early on in the season. Do you see our rotation as, or our pitching staff as, kind of a mixed bunch that people you may have had etched into like a bullpen role could be stretched out more into like a starting role, or are you going to try to keep them kind of structured in their roles and then mix and match elsewhere? The versatility piece is huge.
I'll add one thing to that too. That's a great question. I also wanted to want last kind of last thing. When you think about the potential to stretch guys out, and you know what you're thinking, envisioning. Also, on top of that, like, what are you envisioning for like opening weekend? Ideally, if you know the guys pitch as well as they can, are you envisioning like the full workload, or are you still building those guys up even though they've been training the whole time in terms of their
Sure.
potential
No,
innings to
we're
pitch?
that's the tricky thing about the start of the season, as we're still building those guys up. So those guys are going to be 75, 80 pitches max, which isn't terrible. But that still might be a, it depends on what that 75 or 80 look like, if it's a hard 75, 80 or a breeze. But I think the reality of your question is that we've had to build a lot more guys up than maybe we would have. So we've probably got six guys climbing in count, in addition to those two other guys, just because we can always drop them back down, but we can't raise them up quickly. So our thought is we want to have as many guys built up as we can, just in case we've got to jump through another hoop along the way. And that's kind of been our plan from the point that we lost a few guys. So we'll have about eight guys built up, anywhere from 60 to 80 pitches. And then we'll have some guys that are built up in that 40 range. And we've got some other guys that are just kind of one inning guys.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, that's all I have, John. Anything else?
No, that
Okay.
wraps it up for me too.
Yeah, I'll kick it to our last segment here. Coach, really appreciate you joining us today. Do you have a closing message for Bulls fans to encourage them to come out to support you guys this weekend?
I just said it to the guys the other day when we talked. I think the reality of all this is how you play on the field in terms of what you represent, in terms of our program, our school, whatever it might be. It's either going to excite a crowd or it's going to turn people off. And I think the reality of what our guys are working their tails off to do is go out there and put a product on the field that folks are going to watch, hustle, and do every and anything they can to try and win a baseball game. And that's been our mode since we got here, and that continues to be the mode. You know, we've had two really hard practices, Tuesday and Wednesday. We didn't pull back on the guys. We worked them pretty good, and they've been all about it. We'll go easy on them tomorrow and kind of settle in. But I think ultimately, our fans are going to enjoy watching these guys play.
I love that. Well, awesome. Well, thank you a lot, Coach Hannes, for joining us again. I'll be there on Saturday. My brother will be there on Friday. John will be there in spirit from Ohio. And I think Adam's going to make it out to a game as well. So we're very excited to cheer on you guys. And we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, guys.
All
Appreciate
right.
you.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Take
Coach.
care.
Thanks.
Go Bulls.